I'm afraid that the NFL has gotten a little bit too predictable as of late. Whenever the Buffalo Bills came to Kansas City to face the Chiefs on Sunday, it was bad weather, two really defensively minded teams, their offenses had struggled a little bit. I think we all really saw a big high-scoring game with a huge performance from Alex Smith. You know, they win the game on Alex Smith's arm and Spencer Ware's legs. We probably could have predicted that, you know, back in April, right after the draft maybe. This game, we all saw coming from miles and miles away. Oh, no? Oh, none of that was true. Oh, you remember hearing me say I thought it was going to be a low-scoring game and the offenses were going to struggle. Well, then it's a good thing you have the Rough and the Kicker podcast here on Arrowhead Addict Radio to recap the game and actually analyze the game instead of just making bad guesses at what's going to happen. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. I'm at JB Briscoe on Twitter. The Chiefs won. That's five in a row. They are the five seed right now in the AFC in the playoff chase. But through at least the first half on Sunday, that was certainly in question. There is a lot of ground to cover from Sunday's game against the Bills. But first, let's start, I suppose, with the final score in case you missed it. Kansas City Chiefs 30, Buffalo Bills 22. Adam Teicher, I think, had possibly the most impactful stat of the day, or the most relevant stat of the day after the game. So the Chiefs at one point trailed the Bills 10-0. The Chiefs had lost 20 of the previous 21 games in which they trailed by at least 10 points. A 10-0 start for the Chiefs, being down 10-0, has been fatal in so many cases for the Alex Smith, Andy Reid Kansas City Chiefs. At the beginning of the game, as it started to crumble, and I'll get through the step-by-step of how it happened, I certainly, if nothing else, had doubts. At best, I had doubts, because we say over and over, and there have been lots of instances of this being true, Alex Smith really struggles to come from behind to win a game. But in this case, the offense seemed to change their direction a little bit, focus back in. Everybody played extremely well, even in some of the harshest injury conditions the Chiefs have faced in years, especially on the offensive line. The Bills wasted no time getting their teeth into the Chiefs. First drive, Sammy Watkins, 48-yard reception right past Sean Smith. But the Chiefs defense held Buffalo to a field goal. There was a nice pass breakup from Derek Johnson, matchup against LeSean McCoy in the right across the goal line, kind of in the corner of the end zone. 3-0 Bills. And now Davis had a nice kick return, pulled back on a Demetrius Harris penalty. Then the offense did nothing but draw one defensive penalty. Then even Dustin Colquitt got in on the bad start. A 41-yard punt to the Buffalo 34. That was scary, because whenever Dustin Colquitt starts making mistakes, you start to wonder what's actually going on. Then Tyrod Taylor, when Buffalo got the ball back, took a deep shot to Sammy Watkins, had plenty of time to make that throw, no pressure, but Marcus Peters had perfect coverage on Watkins, and Ron Parker knocked Watkins out of bounds for good measure. I was, since that first play, I was calling for Marcus Peters to spend more time on Sammy Watkins, and honestly, I don't know who ended up doing most of the Watkins coverage in the second half, because we never heard about it, which I'll get to. But Peters and Smith both had real struggles against Watkins in the first half. Then on third down, Taylor converts. The marching never stopped. LeSean McCoy coughed it up at the Chiefs 25. Buffalo's offensive line was holding up fantastically. The Chiefs could not get any pressure, and that continued pretty consistently. Then the offense did nothing for the Chiefs. Got to third and four. Alex Smith threw a two-yard pass. I'd like for those to please stop permanently, effective immediately. Don't ever throw a two-yard pass on third and four, ever again. It's not third and 18, and you throw it 12 yards. That's not what I'm complaining about. Throw the ball 5 yards on third and four. Just run the route to get past the first down line. Just see what happens. Just try, please. Just try it. And then Colquitt, Kevin Harlan on the TV broadcast, described it as, quote, another bad punt. So again, at this point, I mean, I think that's when panic really sets in, whenever Dustin Colquitt is making those mistakes twice. Adam Teicher tweeted, Chiefs opponents started one drive outside the 29-yard line in the last three games. That was the second Bills drive of their first three to start outside of the 29-yard line. So field position had been a huge factor in the Chiefs, in all four of the Chiefs' previous wins, but especially the last three games, and the Bills had good field position to start two of their first three drives. The Chiefs got a little bit of pressure on Taylor, but Watkins beat Smith again, and Tyrod Taylor hit him on the sidelines. Reed challenged it. It was not overturned. I do not know why Andy Reed challenged it. It was not going to happen. Then again, I sound like a broken record, but the Chiefs looked like one. The Chiefs could not get pressure again, and then Justin Houston got hurt and limped to the sidelines. More on his injury later on, but he never returned to the game. I'll cover a little bit of it now, I suppose. The Justin Houston update. Ian Rappaport said that an MRI confirmed that Houston has a sprained PCL, which makes him week to week. There's some speculation it could be 1 week, it could be 4 weeks. Probably somewhere in that window, though. Not a season-ending injury, which there was a fear of that when the injury happened and when it was announced that he would not return to the game. Didn't look as bad as a season-ending injury, so 1 to 4 weeks is where the Chiefs currently sit. And as crazy as it sounds, they really need him for a playoff run. The Chiefs play a bunch of bad teams from here on out, although playing the Raiders this week and then playing the Raiders again before the season ends. Those games will be very important and the most difficult tests that the Chiefs have left. And I'm surprised to be saying this seriously, and you should agree with me and also be surprised probably. I hope Dee Ford comes back soon. Ford didn't play again. It was before last week's game that Ford had a back issue in pregame warmups, and that kept him out again this week. I don't want to have to see Frank Zombo play a whole lot. As of the recording of this show, which I'm doing about 1 a.m. on what is now the December 2nd, very, very early, there were reports of the Chiefs trying out a couple outside linebackers, including Andy Studebaker. The return of Andy Studebaker might be on the horizon while Justin Houston is recovering. Just his depth, I don't think Studebaker would get any crazy playing time. But I don't... This defense was doing a very poor job getting pressure on Tyrod Taylor, period. And even though they weren't blitzing, they also couldn't cover Sammy Watkins for this period of time. So I am concerned about how the Chiefs are going to get pressure on Derek Carr, and they need to get pressure on Derek Carr. Derek Carr has played very well this entire season. So pressure is going to be a huge part. It always is. It's the NFL. I hope Justin Houston gets back soon. Back in the game, though, the only thing that was slowing down the Bills were some of their own penalties. And then there was a perfect, God, this was so frustrating, a perfect touchdown throw from Tyrod Taylor. Sean Smith never even looked at the ball, even though he was right there. Eric Berry misplayed it also. 10-0 Bills. And then it was 3rd-and-1 for the Chiefs when they were actually trying to make something good finally happen and to take a bite out of this 10-0 start for Buffalo. Smith threw it to Travis Kelce about 4 yards deep on 3rd-and-1. It was swatted away by a safety. And then TJ Carpenter tweeted, Alex Smith had Demetrius Harris wide open. Probably picks up 40 yards if he catches it. Smith throws to Kelce incomplete instead. This feels like a silly gripe after seeing what Smith did the rest of the game. But this was an instance of too quick of a check down, too quick of the short pass whenever the big play was open down the field. Now, I don't have as much of a problem with it on 3rd-and-1. I would generally take a 4-yard completion on 3rd-and-1, take the first down, live to fight another set of downs. But some of the great quarterbacks, one of the things they're capable of doing so frequently is on 2nd-and-1, 3rd-and-1, they will forego the first down, the short first down pass, and take the big chunk of yardage that the defense just wasn't accounting for. So that's a small gripe, especially considering what Alex Smith ended up doing later on in the game. But at that time, it was bad. It was a third straight bad Dustin Colquitt punt. After that, the Bills kept marching. The corners were giving the receivers a ton of space. Peters got called for holding on Watkins. Everything at this point in the game was terrible. Without exception, nothing was good. And usually for the Chiefs, at least Dustin Colquitt is good. Nothing was good. And reliving this, I hope you're having the same experience that I am. It's insane to me that this game was, I mean, not even that it became close, that the Chiefs won this game. This is a game that so many iterations of the Chiefs would never have won that it makes me actually maybe more hopeful than just another blowout win. Anyway, it was a good road stretch against bad teams at this point, was the state of mind that I had, where the Chiefs went. They won in London, they got Pittsburgh at home, and then it was back on the road for their other victories. It was a good road stretch against bad and injured teams, but if they would have lost this game to Buffalo at home to an average team, Buffalo, don't get me wrong, is exactly an average team. They do some things well. They have some good players. Sometimes coaching lets them down. Sometimes the offense lets them down. Sometimes the defense crumbles a little bit. They're an average team. They gave the Patriots a fight and then crumbled at the end. As we saw against the Chiefs, got out to a big lead, crumbled throughout the rest of the game. They crumbled in the second half. Chiefs took over. Average team. If they would have fallen in this game to the Bills, it wouldn't have taken them out of playoff contention, but it would have dropped them both behind it would have lost the tiebreaker against the Bills. The Bills would have been in the second spot. The Steelers ended up losing to the Seahawks. That tiebreaker wouldn't have mattered. This would have been a disastrous homestand or home cap to a good stretch of four straight victories. This would have really taken the steam, I think, out of the Chiefs team and fan base. And then the defense looked like it was in prevent through this time, which was not helping my psyche watching this game. And it seems really absurd to be in a prevent defense against Tyrod Taylor, who is a good quarterback, an average quarterback, an above-average quarterback this year. He's not going to perform flawlessly against some tight coverage. I didn't understand the strategy in the first half of this Chiefs defense. Then the Bills on 3rd and 9, after a timeout, threw an incomplete pass! They had to punt! It was a touchback! Spencer Ware ran for a first down, then he did another one, and then a shorter first down! Spencer Ware! And at that point, I was legitimately, and still legitimately am, okay with letting Spencer Ware dictate the Chiefs' offense, which is such a weird thing to say. But Ware has been very good, and the Chiefs needed to establish themselves on the ground a little bit. And then when they did, a not all that well thrown pass from Alex Smith opened up. He hit Jeremy Maclin for 37 yards. The ball went 40 in the air. This wasn't a check down. So it was Alex Smith airing it out. And then Ware ended up taking it in for the touchdown. So the Chiefs then jump up to 10-3. So again, not a great pass, but it was good enough. It was good. If he leads Jeremy Maclin, maybe it's a touchdown. But to even have the real threat of going deep is one thing. I would even say it's very important. But just having Jeremy Maclin, I think this is a common misconception among Chiefs fans, just having Jeremy Maclin isn't actually a threat of going deep. You could put the fastest receiver on earth out on the edge, but if you never take that shot, and not even that, it's never complete, it's not a real threat. It's a fake threat. So being able to actually convert that, not only good for a big chunk of yards, which the Chiefs offense desperately needed, but good to make the defense respect what's actually going on with this team. So Ware gets a touchdown. Jeff Allen limped off, though. At the time, that was the first injury on the Chiefs' offensive line, and I think that he's been the Chiefs' best offensive lineman in this 5-game winning streak. He headed to the locker room. I said possibly reminiscing with Justin Houston about the good old days, like last week when the Chiefs just couldn't lose and they were healthy and stuff. Anyway, back on defense, Taylor hit wide open Sammy Watkins. Again, it's infuriating. Sean Smith was playing like a man terrified of getting beaten deep, so he was giving Watkins all of the medium routes. So instead of taking it for 60 yards over the top, which he was doing anyway, Sammy Watkins took it 12 yards at a time. The Bills offense was fine with that. 3rd and 6, Watkins was standing between Ron Parker and Eric Berry with the ball in the air, and Watkins just took it. It was embarrassing coverage. I'm still disgusted. The secondary was giving Watkins, in my opinion, far too much respect, far too much space, but they couldn't afford to be more aggressive at the time because the pass rush was not doing anything. To be able to take some gambles, take some risks in the secondary, you've got to be getting pressure. The secondary was terrible against Sammy Watkins in the first half, but I think predominantly it falls back on the pass rush. You can afford to play Sammy Watkins tight, to play anybody tight, to take some risks, to go get the ball. Maybe even your safeties get to play a little differently. If you know the quarterback is only going to have a few seconds, he gets to make his first read, maybe a second read, then he really needs to get rid of the ball. Watkins doesn't have the time to get separation that he needs. And again, you can afford to play him more tightly, so you're not giving up 12 yards at a time. And if he's going deep, it's really hard for Tyrod Taylor to throw the ball 40 yards in the air if he's feeling the heat of somebody up in the middle. But nobody on the defensive line was getting that. None of the linebackers, no one on the defensive line, none of the blitzes were getting anywhere. It was miserable. So then the most remarkable play of the game, in my opinion, at least for the Bills, came when Sammy Watkins just crossed up Sean Smith at the goal line, coming back for the ball, a pass from Tyrod Taylor. Just crossed up Sean Smith, aggressively went and got the ball. I was ready to start just screaming at Bob Sutton, who can't stop their one receiving threat at the time. In the first half, I was screaming to have them, force them to use Robert Woods to beat you, Bob Sutton. Stop this absolute maniacal showing from Sammy Watkins, who has had one good game this year. Big talent, real threat, worth respecting, worth putting a number one cornerback on. But he's not, I think I went through before the game, I did go through before the game, and kind of ranked the Chiefs receivers the Chiefs defense have faced this year. And I think Sammy Watkins was like 7 or 8 on that list. He's a good receiver. He's not Demaryius Thomas. He's not DeAndre Hopkins. He's not one of those receivers. He's not Odell Beckham. He's not an elite caliber receiver right now. He's just not. Might he be? He might even. Yeah, maybe he'll eventually get there. But right now, it's not what he is. But the Chiefs treated him like that's exactly what he was. And for a cross sport reference that I tweeted out, he looked like Steph Curry. In a strange way, whenever Curry just is throwing up shots from just 6 feet behind the 3-point line, and it just always goes in, that's what Sammy Watkins looked like. Except for maybe the Chiefs forgot this. I don't know. It's a little secret. You can't tackle guys in basketball to stop them. In football, you can. The Chiefs just didn't really feel like it very often. So as I said at the time, the Chiefs going in the second half had to make someone else beat them. Stop Sammy Watkins. Just don't let him make any more noise. Make Robert Woods do that. Make LeSean McCoy do that. But please, don't let Sammy Watkins just walk over you. The pass rush was still doing nothing. Extra nothing with no Justin Houston. Then after a penalty, Alex Smith, with the Chiefs, had the ball. Changed the tone of the game in one pass. He threw an absolute dart to Jeremy Maclin, in stride for 41 yards, the ball went 40 in the air again, touchdown. Legitimately, I think, the best throw I've ever seen from Alex Smith. I mean, I don't think that's an overstatement. Maybe not the most important throw. This wasn't in a playoff game, although it felt like it on some level. This wasn't as important as any of the throws he made in the NFC Championship game with the 49ers, but man, it was perfect. If you just saw the ball from the moment it left his hand to a nameless, teamless receiver, you could have attributed that pass to Aaron Rodgers. Not to say that Alex Smith is becoming Aaron Rodgers, or to say that one pass changes what I actually think of Alex Smith. But it was a beautiful throw, and we got to see Alex Smith be capable of a bunch of different things in this game that we have not seen in a long time. He can hit that deep pass, he'll take that deep shot, and he'll come back from behind with this team, with this Chiefs offense, and an offensive line that fell apart systematically throughout the entire game, and come back and win from behind. Overall, very impressive showing from Alex Smith. In a little bit, I'll talk about who my MVP of the game is, and who you voted as the MVP. I'm going to try to keep doing that on Twitter, at JV Briscoe, after every game, try to get your guys' opinions on who is the MVP of each game. We're not even at halftime yet. This is probably going to be a very long show. So the pass from Alex Smith left me just utterly breathless. At Jacob71 on Twitter said it was a nice stutter by Maclin against the single high coverage. He did not drift at all. Maclin ran a perfect route. Smith with the ball exactly in position. Then on defense, almost at halftime, the Chiefs forced the first 3-and-out of the game against the Bills. So then 3rd and 9 for the Chiefs again. Smith ran back and forth for several seconds, then ran for 10 yards. It was honestly an incredible run. It looked like the things that Tim Tebow tried to do, but then Alex Smith got the first down. It was really, I mean, he scrambled back and forth. Just really a fantastic play. Following up his 2 deep passes and the beautiful one before, I was on an Alex Smith high just then. So great run by Smith, but it looked like Fisher got hit in the head, Eric Fisher, and he did. The left side of the offensive line had been so good, and then it was out, because Jeff Allen was injured, and then Eric Fisher did not return to the game with a neck injury. Then Smith hit Albert Wilson for 16. Chiefs used their last timeout. An 8-yard scramble by Smith got Santos to a 54-yard attempt with 4 seconds left. The conditions were poor, though, and Santos hit the crossbar, barely bounced back. Disappointing not to be able to take the lead before the half, because they should have been able to, just about a foot or two short on the kick. So going into halftime, it was 16-14 Bills, because they missed an extra point after that Sammy Watkins touchdown. And then at halftime, a lot changed. First, though, at halftime, I'm going to look at the final stats to share this stat. Sammy Watkins at halftime. At halftime, he had 6 receptions for 158 yards, 2 touchdowns, 48 yard long. At halftime. And that's what he ended the game with as well. So a lot changed at halftime for the Chiefs defense. Started off with the Nile Davis return to the 38, check down to Kelsey, short slant to Albert Wilson for a first down, penalty on LDT, Smith hit Jeremy Maclin for 9, then Smith led Maclin in stride, Maclin laid out for 32, Smith scrambled for a few, nailed Kelsey in the end zone, 21-16. The drive seemed to have the pace that I just set all that in. It was just one thing after another. Just a fantastic way to start the second half on offense. And Alex Smith was having a heck of a day, and it did not stop there. But the injuries were still a big concern at that point, as they remain now. Houston and Fisher both out, did not return. Jeff Allen even ended up returning. But I said at the time, if those guys would just miss the rest of the game, I would be thrilled. They talked about ruling Jeff Allen out at one point, but he had to return because the rest of the offensive line fell apart also. Then back on the Bills' side of the ball, 3rd and 7, this is after a bad Bills challenge. They lost a timeout there. Tom Bahaly got the first meaningful pressure of the day. Strip sack Tyrod Taylor. Dontari Poe got on the loose ball. This was a forced turnover for the Chiefs. You know, you talk about takeaways and stuff all the time. This was a meaningful, much-needed turnover the Chiefs forced there. And in a case where they had just taken the lead with that Kelsey touchdown, this was a chance to really create some distance. It wasn't turned into quite the gem that it deserved to be after the strip sack. It was 3rd and 7 then for the Chiefs. The ball went just off the fingertips of Chris Conley right at the goal line. Santos hit the 49-yard field goal. 17 unanswered points for the Chiefs, 24-16. But I couldn't tell the time, and I still don't know if Smith missed it or if Conley should have been able to pull that pass in. I'll take the roughly 2 out of 3 completion rate, though, on Smith's deep shots. And I hope we see more of those, especially more of those to Conley. Conley has the physicality and the speed to make those happen. They just have got to complete those here and there. But again, a 2 out of 3 deep ball percentage with Alex Smith, I'll take it. Then vintage Derek Johnson appeared on the field. Tackle in the backfield for -4 against the Bills. Taylor threw an incomplete pass. 3rd and 14. Taylor threw a few yards short of the marker. It would have forced a punt. But on the punt, the most infuriating thing happened. Not as infuriating as Sammy Watkins, everything. But Demetrius Harris had a neutral zone infraction on the punt, as he was right by the long snapper, which gave the Bills a free first down. And that, you can't do that. You cannot, that's not an option. You cannot be a tight end on the special teams unit, be right by the long snapper, and jump. I'm sure I have less football experience than a lot of you listening right now. I played football in high school. But special insight here, I played long snapper. I was a long snapper. And I mean, I was great. I would snap that ball, and that's about all I would do. If you're by the long snapper, all you do is watch the ball and then try to get up the middle, but it's never going to happen because you cannot line up on the long snapper. You can't crack the long snapper in the head because it'll break his neck. It's very hard to rush up the middle on punt coverage, and the long snapper knows how to do it, and the guys beside him are there to help him. The game would not have changed at all. The game would not have changed at all if Demetrius Harris would have just not even tried to get after that punt. But the jump off sides, there's no hard count. It's not Peyton Manning calling for Omaha. There's none of that. I don't understand. I don't understand how that happens. So that was awful, and it gave the Bills a free first down, which just infuriated me. And then from @34GusBus on Twitter, talking about the revived Bills drives, and a missed tackle in the backfield that would have been a tackle for a loss. Eric Berry was jawing with LeSean McCoy again. Loved the Chiefs' attitude in the second half. I completely agree. Other than Demetrius Harris on that one play, the attitude for the Chiefs was much more ferocious in the second half. But again, the Bills ended up with a revived drive that they did not deserve to have. which just, God, I always hate penalties, and the Bills had a ton of penalties in this game, but penalties like that drive me the most insane. Then again, on the revived Bills drive, Jay Howard got a pretty much deserved roughing the passer penalty. Tyrod Taylor floated one to LeSean McCoy for a touchdown. That was infuriating. Floating touchdown passes. If the coverage is even partially around, if it's present at all, floaters like that just don't get completed so smoothly, but it did. An absolute swarm by the defense stopped a two-point conversion attempt because they missed the extra point earlier. So Demetrius Harris kind of gifted the Bills 6 points, but the defense held up their end of the bargain to stop the two-point conversion. It became 24-22 Chiefs after the Taylor to McCoy touchdown pass. Really just a gift of those six. And then back on the offensive side of the ball after a little bit, Mitch Morse was being evaluated for a concussion for the Chiefs. And then a perfectly thrown slant to Travis Kelce went for 37 yards. That was great. Smith hit Kelce open in stride. Kelce did the rest. Got to have more of that on this offense because those are big plays that happen that are more high percentage plays that still have that explosive capability because Kelce has it. It's a throw Smith should make every time. But what I was really like, not salivating over, the Bills defense was probably salivating over, but the thing I could not take my eyes off of from this point on through the rest of the game was the offensive line that the Chiefs were playing with. Eric Fisher was out. Jeff Allen left, and I guess he couldn't have been ruled out, although I thought at one point he was. He definitely did not look like a guy who should have been playing in the game. Mitch Morse ruled out with a concussion. And the Chiefs started the game and have started the last several games with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif at right guard and Ja Reed at right tackle. Who, again, Ja Reed wasn't on a team right as the season was about to start, but Eric Fisher got hurt, so he had to start for the Chiefs. So the current offensive line was fall from grace Donald Stevenson at left tackle, where he started the season and then fell to the third tackle. Donald Stevenson, a very injured Jeff Allen at left guard, my boy Zach Fulton playing center after he had to play some guard, and then LDT and Reed at right guard and tackle, respectively. You know, I've had some self-inflicted wounds about what I said about Zach Fulton, how I trusted him. But not only did he play well in this game, the offensive line played shockingly well, despite having every reason not to. The injuries, the chemistry, playing a good Bills defense, a very banged up Bills defense that didn't have a couple key players on the defensive line. But overall, a really impressive showing from the entire offensive line with guys who definitely shouldn't be starters in the NFL. I mean, I could argue at this point that, well, certainly Donald Stevenson, because he wasn't a starter on the Chiefs. Zach Fulton, not a starter on the Chiefs. LDT probably shouldn't be a starter. Ja Reed couldn't get on a roster. Currently shouldn't be a starter in the NFL. That's four of the five linemen. And then Jeff Allen. Jeff Allen should not have been on the field because he was limping around. Those are five subpar offensive linemen at that point, considering all of the factors and everybody coming in mid-game, except for the guys on the right side. Every reason for that offensive line to fall apart, and it did not. And 30-11 for the Chiefs offense behind, just waiting for this offensive line to crumble. Alex Smith scrambled and took off on 3rd and 11 and got the first down. Then on 2nd down, later on, Smith was running out of the pocket and Kelce was wide open in the end zone. Smith never saw him. And I would argue that at that point that he never had time to see him because I think Smith was, you know, I think offensive lines matter and that Smith was mostly concerned with staying upright at that point. But I would have been happy to see Smith sling that one. I mean, even if it was on the run, Smith could have had an off-balance throw, and there would have been no threat of an interception. No one was near Travis Kelce, and Kelce would have caught it. So that was a mistake by Alex Smith, even though I think at that point he was still very antsy on this offensive line, or at least I was. The aggressive offense at that point had been so productive for the Chiefs. So this was really frustrating. This was a very Andy Reid thing to do, as I was really buying into the offense. It's about to hit the 30-minute mark for how long I've talked about this game. There's so much to go through. the Chiefs offense had been so aggressive and so good in their aggressiveness. And then they lost it here. On 3rd and 7, they threw a screen. A screen that never had a chance. And it was those deep shots to Macklin. It was feeding Spencer Ware. And it was the crossing pattern to Travis Kelce. The touchdown to Travis Kelce on the field. Big chunks of yardage were actually happening for the Chiefs. And he just didn't even give it a try on 3rd and 7. It threw a screen that was just hopeless from the start. So Morse was ruled out at that point. Chiefs defense got the Bills to 3rd and 9 with a nice play from Ron Parker in coverage, who has been playing very well. One of the reasons we've stopped talking about the slot guy is because Ron Parker has been doing that. He's been playing in the nickel package. Ron Parker has been the reason that we don't sit here every week and go, oh, Jamel Fleming. Oh, Marcus Cooper. Oh, Steven Nelson, where are you? We don't have to do that anymore because Ron Parker is covering that, no pun intended, and doing it very, very well. So everybody, if you see Ron Parker walking around Kansas City or, you know, anywhere, say, hey, Ron Parker, I appreciate you. No one's talking about you because you're doing your job so well. And his job is not a slot corner, and that's not even what he's necessarily playing. But he has been a huge part for helping fix this Chiefs defensive secondary as far as covering the slot guy goes since Phil Gaines got injured. Anyway, Ron Parker, glad he's a Chief. Then so after that play, Marcus Peters should have had a pick six. He broke on the ball with nothing but grass ahead of him. I think it was LeSean McCoy might have been able to catch him by a toe. But doesn't matter. He could not hold on. Again, he should have caught that and run it back. And then the punt was fair caught on the 10 by Frankie Hammond Jr., who was returning punts on the day. And then back to the explosive plays note at Jacob71 again. Explosive plays for the Chiefs. Macklin for 37, Macklin for 41, Macklin for 32, Kelce for 38. For the Bills, Watkins 48, Watkins 28, Watkins 33, Watkins 21. So chunks of big plays in this game, although and all of the Bills came from Taylor to Watkins. Most of the Chiefs ones were Jeremy Macklin, but Travis Kelce got in on the action also. Then Spencer Ware had a fantastic run, ducked through a really not obvious hole in the line, and took it for 35, another big chunk of yards. It was fantastic. And the running game kept working. Whenever Andy Reid started to rely on the running game a little bit, it paid dividends for the Chiefs. And then Smith hit Macklin on 3rd and 4. Macklin took it for 9. The offensive line was somehow holding up. Albert Wilson had a really great play, a really great block on that Macklin play. Then on 3rd and 6, huge Bills blitz, but Smith saw it coming. And this is something that I think they mentioned on the broadcast, and I was already taking notes about it before they even started talking about it, because it was a fantastic thing that Smith did that I don't think anyone is really talking about still. On 3rd and 6, Smith saw the blitz coming, something from tape, I don't know what it was, but he went up to the line, changed the play, and instead of just eating the blitz or throwing up a prayer, he changed it to a quick screen. A screen on 3rd and 6. I'm happy about a screen on 3rd and 6 because it worked and because Smith saw it in the defense and the defense was going to give it up. 3rd and 6, hits it over to Jeremy Macklin, who then turns it into a first down. Great play there by Alex Smith before the ball was even snapped. Then the next play, a not especially violent but especially stupid-looking rough in the passer penalty, gave the Chiefs another 15 yards. Holding moved the Chiefs back. Then on 3rd and 17, there was an incredibly dangerous screen. And I do hate the screen passes whenever it's not to counteract a blitz. A Santos field goal then made it 30-22 Chiefs, making it the largest one-possession margin that you could. Then the Chiefs stopped the Bills on 3 straight plays, where the Bills should have challenged a catch on a previous play. Rex Ryan did not challenge it. Then it was 4th and 9 with 2:16 left, and Tyrod Taylor scrambled, actually dropped the ball, scooped it up, and headed for the first down marker. But he was just short. The Bills challenged it, lost the challenge. He was short. And the Chiefs took over. Spencer Ware ran it 3 times, got the first down. Alex Smith took a knee, and the Chiefs then picked up another tiebreaker, picked up another game over another wild card contender. And then when the Steelers lost to the Seahawks later in the day, the Chiefs ended up jumping to the 5 seed, totally in control of what they do from here on out. It's legitimately remarkable. I have a bunch of like post-game stats and notes and the MVP poll, the results of that. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But if there's ever a time when I think you, the listener, might be thinking that you ought to just throw some money at me, it's after 30 solid minutes of Chiefs-Bills recapping. And part of the reason that I feel like I can do that as a professional now is because I'm using a different microphone. So if I sound any different, that's why. Hopefully I do sound different. Hopefully I sound better and even more sensual as we talk about the Chiefs and winning. It's really a romantic experience on its own. But I got a Blue Yeti microphone from Amazon over the Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales and everything. And I got to do that because of people supporting this show through Patreon. At patreon.com/RTK, you can donate a little bit of money to me on a monthly basis, or maybe on a one-time one, I'm actually not sure. But you can throw a little bit of money this way if you've enjoyed the show and want to help support the show and hopefully help it get better and grow. This is the first... Other than being able to host a premium package through the Podomatic account, which is how the show gets to iTunes. And if you're not listening to the show through iTunes or not subscribed to this show anywhere, do that. Never miss an episode because the show will get posted through those ways, through the iTunes feed, through an Android podcasting app. If you search Ruffin the Kicker and subscribe to the Ruffin the Kicker feed, it will get posted there. In some cases, hours, in some cases, maybe a full day before it shows up on Arrowhead Addict. So subscribe to the show wherever you want to do that. But the Patreon money so far has gone $10 every month to keep the iTunes feed happy and healthy. And then now, hopefully helping the show on a tech standpoint, this microphone's currently definitely making my life easier. Hopefully it's also making it more enjoyable to listen to the show. If nothing else, I feel more professional, and it makes the show a little bit easier for me. So you can do that at patreon.com/RTK. The people who are currently doing that, Don Beal, at DonBeal32, and new this week, Andy Simpson. Andy, if you're listening, let me know what your Twitter handle is, and I will give you a Twitter shout-out next week. Those are the people in the $20 group, and then the well-known names of Christine Roadlander, at C. Roadlander, and Ty Declare, at Ty Declare 44, are the $10 group, the $5 group, Josh Beadle, Ben Rahman, Jason Essler. Thank you to all of you who helped not only keep this show out to where people can get it on iTunes, where everybody can hear it, as many people as possible can hear it, but then also throwing a little bit of money to me so I can be able to do things to improve this show and hopefully stick around for a long, long time. Like a long, long time I've been talking about Chiefs Bills and I'm going to continue to do here for the next, like, I don't know, next 20 minutes still. Starting off these stats and notes from after the game with something that just surprised me, and I tweeted this out after the game, I think. Here's some names that were a significant part of a thriving Chiefs offense, not even to mention Alex Smith. Spencer Ware, Donald Stevenson, Jeff Allen, Zach Fulton, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Ja Reed. Those are names that we, if nothing else, had minimal expectations for entering the season. No expectations for Spencer Ware. Zach Fulton, LDT, Reed, Stevenson were all a wreck. And they all came together to perform very, very well as a cohesive unit on the offensive line. TJ Carpenter, at TJ Carpenter WHB, noted that the last 7 weeks the Chiefs have one turnover. I'm going to go out of my way and say that's an important statistic, and that the Chiefs would not be 5-0 in their last five games if they had, I don't know, to say 10 turnovers. I think that wouldn't happen. Matt Connor, at Matt Connor AP, says, lots of credit to the Chiefs for staying the course after an early slump and challenging a talented Bills secondary deep. I could not agree more, and the biggest benefactor of that seemed to be Jeremy Maclin. 9 catches, 160 yards, and a touchdown for Jeremy Maclin on Sunday. The Bills do, as Connor pointed out, the Bills have talent in the secondary. They have talent all across their defense. They have Rex Ryan, who's a good defensive coordinator and maybe a good head coach. But the Bills, or I'm sorry, the Chiefs did not hesitate to continue to challenge the Bills down the field. I guess they did hesitate, but they successfully did it enough times, more often than we've seen the Chiefs do against good teams in a very, very long time. At Greg Rosenthal pointed out the Chiefs ended the game on 7 possessions that went like this. Touchdown, touchdown, missed field goal, touchdown, field goal, victory formation. I will take that over and over for the rest of time, please. That is a fantastic way to close out the game. I mean, that's the 3 possessions before the half, and then the second half possessions. Just a fantastic, fantastic showing there. At Citadel Chief tweeted, credit to Andy Heck today. That's the offensive line coach. Every reason for the offensive line to fail, and they didn't. I laughed as I was reading that because I super wanted Andy Heck fired, like, from weeks 2 through 6. The offensive line was just not good enough. It wasn't getting coached well. It wasn't performing well. The players were bad. It was not good enough. It was not taking the steps it needed to. And in this case, Morse and Allen and Fisher all sustained real injuries. Allen ended up coming back in, obviously. Ben Grubbs is out, but could miss the rest of the season for all we know. Just every excuse that was there for the Chiefs offensive line in this game. And frankly, the Chiefs offensive line has failed in the past when the excuses weren't there. But in this case, the Chiefs offensive line had every excuse in the book they could have pulled. Justifiably, rightfully so. And they didn't. They just performed. They performed very well when they needed to, with every reason to not perform that well. So, fantastic job by Andy Heck, Andy Reid, and every one of those offensive linemen who took a snap on Sunday. Arrowhead Pride tweeted, the best part of the Chiefs game might be Sammy Watkins having 158 in the first and a goose egg in the second. That's a phenomenal adjustment by Bob Sutton and the defense. Even though the Bills' offense was not shut down by any means in the second half, Sammy Watkins was. And as I said, during the first half, the Chiefs needed to stop Sammy Watkins and make the Bills beat them in other ways in the second half. And that's what Bob Sutton did. I think he was clearly reading my tweets. So then I tweeted after the game was over, I want to try to do a weekly MVP vote to then reference here on the podcast. So if you see this, please do vote in future weeks. Got 63 votes on this Twitter poll looking for the MVP of Chiefs-Bills. 14% went to Jeremy Maclin, 22% went to Spencer Ware, 21% went to the Patrick offensive line, and to my surprise, 43%. And the winner of the poll, Alex Smith. I can sit here and make an argument for any one of these guys. The offense does not have that deep threat without Jeremy Maclin, so those plays that Alex Smith pulled the trigger on and actually completed doesn't happen if that's just Chris Conley. It's good routes and good faith that Alex Smith has in Jeremy Maclin. It's not there with Chris Conley. That's not there with Albert Wilson. You're not getting that option with most of the guys on this team. I said Conley because I think he's the one who could actually physically do it, but his routes aren't that good, and Alex Smith doesn't trust him that much yet, in my opinion. So I don't think this offense does what it does without Jeremy Maclin. This offense does not do what it does without Spencer Ware. Niall Davis was not going to do what needed to happen here. I don't think I spent enough time. If there's one thing I didn't talk about enough in that wrap-up, Spencer Ware is that guy. There were cases early in the game when he was doing too much east-west running. Once he started to actually take the ball down the field and Reed was just feeding him in spaces, he performed very, very well. In fact, he ended the game with a second straight good stat line. The Chiefs offense has been, the Chiefs running backs have been insanely productive lately, as we all know. Spencer Ware ended with 19 carries for 114 yards and a touchdown. I'm the one talking, I guess. It's my own fault, so I'll try to correct it now. I wasn't talking about Spencer Ware as the most important part of this offense, but 19 carries for 144 yards and a touchdown is important, and he did it in different ways. He had a 35-yard longest run of the game, but he also was picking up small chunks, and then on that run where he hit the little hole and made it into a big play when the blocks were not obvious. Good vision, good cuts, just a fantastic performance from Spencer Ware. And somehow got understated, even though he had some big plays, some smaller plays, all around. It was just a really, really professional performance from Spencer Ware. He's second by 1%. He's second in the MVP voting. I've talked about the offensive line as much as I possibly can. Fantastic job as it was falling apart. But Alex Smith, I think, is a rightful MVP here. He gets so much garbage whenever the Chiefs' offense is not performing well. When in so many cases, I think the offensive line is to blame, which is why I think I might actually vote for the offensive line in this case. Although I'm making a case for all four of these votes. Alex Smith gets the blame when the Chiefs offense performs poorly. Today, I think he is absolutely justified as the MVP, as the benefactor of good tidings as the Christmas season is coming upon us. Not only was he making the throws, the deep throws, the short throws, a perfect crossing pattern to a perfect slant to Travis Kelce, a perfect deep ball to Jeremy Maclin, a not-so-perfect deep ball to Jeremy Maclin, finding Travis Kelce in the end zone, changing the play in the face of a blitz to pick up a first down, scrambling for a first down on two different occasions in cases where he had no business making those plays. Alex Smith is your MVP. You said it. I agree with you also. Fantastic showing by Alex Smith. And this was such a huge victory here. There's so many, as I said earlier, there's so many places where this Chiefs team does not win this game in past seasons. Now to the next game that the Chiefs need to turn around to continue their run to the playoffs. The first of two games remaining this year against the Oakland Raiders. This week, going to Oakland, likely without Justin Houston. And as of right now, as I said, recording this in the early morning hours of December 2nd, we don't know what the offensive line is going to look like. That will be a huge factor and something to pay close attention to. I don't want to have to see the offensive line that finished the game last week against the Bills have to go up against this Raiders defense. That would scare me for several different reasons. But it seems like we can expect Jeff Allen and LDT and Ja Reed to also be playing, but the left tackle position is up in the air, as is the center spot. If it goes from Morse to Fulton in the middle, I'll feel fine about it. Zach Fulton is a competent backup center. But the left tackle position is the most important one. It's either going to be Donald Stevenson or Eric Fisher, as far as we know right now. But let's look at the other side of the ball with the Raiders offense. The Raiders in general, they're now 5-6 after a good start. They've been up and down the last few weeks. Now, on the most recent ESPN power rankings, where the Chiefs are 10th, the Raiders are 16 and on their way up. They were 18 last week. That obviously doesn't mean anything concrete. But the last several games have provided some challenges for the Raiders, and I'm not sure exactly what to think about these games. They lost to the Broncos, won in San Diego, beat the Jets at home, then lost three straight in Pittsburgh, Vikings at home, at Detroit, and then beat the Titans in Tennessee. And all of those teams, I think most NFL fans and analysts have started to say, oh, these teams are all better than we thought they were. The Steelers, Vikings, and Lions. Obviously, the Chiefs crushed the Lions. The Raiders lost to the Lions by 5. Chiefs did it in London. Raiders lost in Detroit. Because of that, I have such a hard time gauging what the Raiders actually are. Derek Carr is good enough to beat the Chiefs. And not consistently, not every time, but if you say, hey, the Chiefs go to Oakland and lose by 2 touchdowns, what happened? I'm going to say, well, Derek Carr and Amari Cooper and even Michael Crabtree got together and exposed the Chiefs secondary. Before the Bills game, I really, really liked what we had seen from the Chiefs secondary, and I'm still a fan of it. Pairing up Sean Smith and Marcus Peters on the edges, and then all the safeties we've talked about, I think is one of the best units in the league. And I don't know why. God, this is frustrating. I don't know why Sammy Watkins exposed the Chiefs so badly in the first half. I don't know what happened. But I think Marcus Peters' matchup against Amari Cooper would be a fantastic matchup. Cooper has the advantage for one reason. Offensive players always have the advantage. They know where they're running. And Cooper is, I would argue, maybe slightly more established. He has the overall physical presence and the quarterback to beat Peters. But I think they are more evenly matched than most people would probably give Marcus Peters credit for. That will be a fantastic matchup to watch, and I hope we get to see that. Sean Smith also will be able to, I'm sure he'll cover Cooper plenty of times, but Peters is the matchup that I want to see on Cooper the most, and really let that determine where the game goes in a lot of ways. And then whichever one of those guys, though, Smith or Peters, is not on Amari Cooper, the other one will get to be on the number two receiver, which in most cases I think will be Michael Crabtree. Although last week when the Raiders went to Tennessee and won, Crabtree only caught 4 passes for 19 yards, though he did catch a touchdown. It was Seth Roberts who was the second leading receiver, 6 receptions for 113 and 2 touchdowns. Amari Cooper, 7 for 115, no touchdowns there. Derek Carr will push the ball through the air, and it will challenge the Chiefs in a bunch of ways. I don't know anything about Seth Roberts other than he's a rookie. I can see now he's a rookie from West Alabama. I mean, I don't know if he's a real threat or if he's a total fluke, and it's not going to matter. The Chiefs will put one of those guys on Cooper, probably with some help over the top, either from Parker or Abdullah or Branch or Barry. They'll give help there. And then the other corner, in my mind at least, either matched up on Roberts or Crabtree, that'll just be the matchup. And I'm okay with that. Give Peters or Sean Smith, let's say Michael Crabtree, that whatever that number two receiver is, give that one of those guys that number two receiver and say, this is your job. Don't screw up, because if you do, we're in deep trouble. Then give the other guy some help with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is the biggest threat, no question. And with that set up, I feel pretty good about the Chiefs' secondary. However, the biggest problem last week was the issue of not getting pressure. I'm assuming Justin Houston will not be playing in this game, and that's fine in some ways. I mean, the Chiefs need to win this game, but we actually are looking at the playoffs as the most important thing for the Chiefs right now, and Justin Houston being back for that. But the Chiefs need to take care of their business between now and the playoffs. They are certainly no lock to make it, though I do think the Chiefs will at this point. But getting pressure here is going to be a problem. Bob Sutton will have a week to figure out how to expose a banged-up Raiders offensive line and to generate pressure in unique ways, because he's going to know he's not going to have Justin Houston. So Tom Bahali, we assume, will have a pretty traditional pass rusher role, and the defensive line can, in some cases, get pressure. Alan Bailey coming back would be enormous. Dee Ford coming back would be really, really nice. I don't want to see Frank Zombo trying to fill Justin Houston's shoes, because that's not even jokingly going to happen. So I think Sutton, though, will manufacture pressure in other ways in the absence of Justin Houston, and that will allow the Chiefs to get to Carr just enough. I do not think that will be the reason the Chiefs win, or the strength that we talk about on Monday and Tuesday. I think it will be a very difficult challenge, but I think they'll do it just enough. I think the secondary will hold up against the Raiders' weapons. Derek Carr's got a great arm, and he will continue to get better. Right now, if I could take any quarterback out of the AFC West for the next 5 years, I would take Derek Carr, even though Phillip Rivers is putting up crazy numbers. Maybe even the next 3 years. Derek Carr has a very high ceiling. But I think the Chiefs secondary will do enough, as long as the pass rush can hold up their end of the bargain. On the Raiders' defense, just even looking at what Tennessee did last week, Tennessee's 2-9. They're not good. But they had a total of 44 rushing yards against the Raiders. All three of their touchdowns came through the air from Marcus Mariota, who only threw for a little over 200 yards, where Derek Carr threw for 330 and three touchdowns and only was sacked one time. So again, keeping that in mind for how the Chiefs get pressure. I think ultimately, if the Chiefs' offense looks like it did, scheme-wise, I would say, against Buffalo, I think the Chiefs win this game. Again, pass rush is the biggest factor, the biggest question mark for me. The fearlessness of feeding the ball to Spencer Ware, which is such an insane thing to think about, as long as Andy Reid can stick with that, we'll trust Ware with the ball, we'll trust the offense to run through him, we'll trust him to move the ball not east and west, but north and south, down the field, getting those chunks of 7, 8, 9 yards, and then occasionally maybe you get 30, maybe a little wheel route, you get more than that. Charkandrick West returning would be great. Again, right now, I just don't know. As I'm recording this, I don't know what the injury report looks like. But DeAnthony Thomas, I would say, probably will not be returning just based on when he was ruled out last week. But West will end up being reportedly a game-time decision. So West comes back. Ware is there. I love what those two guys are going to be able to do. As long as Smith will push the ball down the field a little bit more, some more of those slants across the middle to Travis Kelce, some more deep shots to Macklin. I think the offense will do plenty against the Raiders. So I'd say they go into Oakland. I say the Chiefs win this game in a 27-24 final. I think it's somewhat high scoring. I think the Raiders will put up a very, very good fight, especially considering the Chiefs' offensive line right now is a question mark. Then the pass rush is a question mark. And those are probably two of the three or four biggest factors in an NFL football game. But I think the Chiefs win it. I think the Chiefs win their sixth in a row, cement their spot even more as the top wildcard seed in the AFC. And this crazy, crazy swing of a season continues all the way over in Oakland. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Roughing the Kicker on Arrowhead Addict Radio, arrowheadaddict.com. jbbriscoe@gmail.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Follow me on Twitter @jbbriscoe. If you want to send any questions or comments about the show, maybe it's the quality of the mic. Maybe something weird happened that I didn't hear when I was recording. Maybe just saying how much you like it. Whatever you want to say. If you want to say it in more than 140 characters, you can do it on Facebook, facebook.com/RTK Show. You can support the show, patreon.com/RTK. Thank you again to all the people who have done that so far to help advance this show. Technologically, I'm looking at a stand-up, shiny silver microphone. It looks better, it sounds better, I feel better. As always, thanks for listening, for sharing the show with people who you love, who might love listening to a Chiefs conversation. This somehow goes 55 minutes when I thought this would actually be a pretty short episode. But I was wrong, and I forgot how exciting it is to talk about a Chiefs team that's a playoff contender when nobody expected it a few weeks ago. Never a dull moment. Bye, Mom.